That will move on to item number 11, Custer State Park storm damage update. In person today, Mr. Matt Snyder and Josh Schultz. Welcome to both of you.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Commissioner, Secretary Rogel, Matt Snyder, Parks Regional Supervisor for Western South Dakota. And along with me today is Josh Schmaltz, the CEO of Ram Dakota Companies. We do have a PowerPoint for you today. You go through the latest, what we're calling blowing in the wind. We kind of went rogue on the typical PowerPoint presentation, but our fire management officer at Custer State Park, James Batchelor, generated this with the help of AI and thought it was very fitting for what we're dealing with out there. So with that, we'll go ahead and get started with this. As everyone knows, December 18th, it was a Thursday, we had gale force winds that struck the park anywhere from 91 to 122 miles an hour, sustained winds for 48 hours that basically caused major damage throughout the park, widespread tree damage, down power lines, facility damage, resorts, parks, residences, office complexes. Basically, the whole park was without power, without phones, without internet for lasted approximately a week is what we were without power. So got to start off with kudos to park staff. They started their day that Thursday at 4 o'clock in the morning, trying to get themselves out of the shop complex to understand what was really going on. Winds were still blowing at that time. So, you know, they did their due diligence to stay safe, but at the same time knew that they had to get things opened up and start assessing what's going on. At daylight that morning, we closed the park. We didn't physically barricade it, but we just put out public notices that Custer State Park was closed until further notice, to give us an opportunity to open up roads. So in conjunction with park staff that was there and able to get into the park, DOT staff and wildland fire, we basically started cutting and pushing trees off of the major highways in the park. And by late afternoon, we had the park back open, you know, to the point where you could at least drive through it. There were trees on the sides of the roads, and that's part of that cleanup process that's still taking place now. So, but just a wonderful group of people to work with our own crews at the park, DOT stepping up, wildland fire crews. It's been nothing short of amazing. So the pictures don't do it justice, but as you can see here, we're seeing thousands of mature trees, and we're not talking small trees. We're talking our old growth trees. A lot of them were either snapped off or uprooted throughout the course of the park. Several picnic tables, don't have a complete number on that yet. We're still finding them that have been destroyed due to trees coming down on them, electrical pedestals as well. We've had all of our electrical lines, pretty much to all the service lines. The secondary lines feeding buildings in the resort complexes are currently down. Most of those facilities are still without power. We're working on that with a contract now to get that reinstalled and back up. Things you don't think of, all the recabling of all the internet lines and fiber lines feeding the TV and internet to all the resort facilities are also down. So that's all going to have to be reinstalled. There are several of the HVAC units on the cabins that sit outside the cabin areas that basically got crushed by trees. And then, as you'll see through the pictures, there's damage to roofs and windows, with the blunt of that taking place with the resort aspects of it. We had a couple of trees go down on some residences, but nothing substantial, no major damage. And you'll see through the course of this, we had some of our campgrounds get hit, some of the comfort stations, but there again, nothing significant other than one camper cabin that a picture will show up on. So if we start the game lodge complex there, we were without power from the 18th through basically the evening of December 23rd, power was restored back to those areas. The bathroom facility at Grace Coolidge had a tree land on the top of it, some damage to that staff will be able to repair, but it was still that. And I'll turn it over to Josh to just kind of give a summary of what happened with his complex.
Sure. Madam Chair, Commissioners, Secretary Rowling. Yeah, as you guys will see in the pictures, I mean, there was a lot of damage for the cabins. We had a couple of vehicles that were damaged, but overall, the majority was done to the cabins. Luckily, you know, some of the damage ranged anywhere from just soffit and fascia. Unfortunately, we had some that trees had fell on the roofs, broken trusses, broken windows. We got on it right away. Within a couple of days, we had all the buildings that had damage dried in, anticipating any snow or rain. To prevent further damage. But, you know, again, all things that are fixable. We did have the top picture up there. You'll see Coolidge Store. A tree fell on one of the secondary power lines, and it actually pulled the exterior wall away from the building. So we have a structural issue there, which we are currently addressing actually today, because with secondary power going up next week. So, again, you know, we're just kind of starting from the game lodge and working our way up to Sylvan. Again, we've addressed all the buildings that needed to be dried in, so we're safe there. And the damage that you'll see is, it's so extensive, it's really hard to talk. It's hard to explain, and really the pictures don't do it justice. I mean, the damage has just been so much. But Matt's team, and throughout the state, they got on it right away. The cleanup that has happened since Monday, it's a completely different look when you drive through the park now what it was 4 days ago. You guys have done a phenomenal job getting on it with a lot of help from, again, other parks. We have our own resort staff that have done a lot of work throughout the resorts to try to get things cleaned up. And luckily, a lot of the cabins, we're winterized, so we don't have to worry about broken water lines, anything like that. So now just time to clean things up. Get ready for May, which will be here before you know it.
So we move on to Legion Lake. A lot of the same issues there. Our historic Badger Hole, Badger Clark's cabin. The cabin itself stayed intact, but we did have a tree go through the front porch of that. So that's kind of a historic building. So we'll have to work on Schiphol with that to get that restored. But that's something that staff will basically rebuild this spring, summer, and get that up and running. And then we did have the trailhead sign down there, basically got totally smashed up by a tree. And then you can see the list of the cabins there on the Legion Lake Lodge that had some sort of damage to them in some fashion or another.
We had when the power came on at Legion Lake, the power surge into the fire pump in the building started the fire. Luckily, I think it was Jason Gooder, yeah, or somebody happened to be driving by at the right time, saw smoke, fire department was deployed. Really no damage other than the pump itself. So.
Yeah, just some of the photos of Legion Lake there. That middle top photo is of the Badger Hole, and then the sign in the lower right. And yeah, just trees down everywhere. And what you'll see with a lot of these pictures too is the trees just don't fall down. They crisscross, they're hung up. So it's a lot of technical cutting when it does come time to try and clean these up, and as well as just removing them off of buildings without doing any further damage to them. So it's been a work in progress with a lot of help from people. So Center Lake, moving on to Center Lake complex there, campground there, Center Lake, all areas of the park have been hit, but Center Lake is probably one of the most hit hardest. Yesterday in our, we do a briefing every evening. Yesterday in the briefing, the staff working at Center Lake said just the interior portion. So if you're familiar with the Center Lake area, we have an interior day use area that goes to the boat ramp. It loops around. Just in this section alone, they're anticipating over 200 loads of brush and trees having to be hauled out of there yet. So they're still working on cutting trees. What they're noticing is we still have trees standing that appear to be healthy, but as the wind was blowing yesterday, they're noticing that there are cracks in them that will eventually have to be assessed and come down before the season starts. So we're not done with this yet. We're still experiencing trees falling when we do have winds in that. So staff are very cognizant of when they are cutting and what's around them and what's going on. So today we haven't had any injuries, and we want to keep it that way. So and amongst this, you know, the playhouse wasn't left. You know, they got hit more from a tree standpoint. Sounds like they lost a garage door and one of their dorms, basically a tree hit it, caused some issues to some eaves and that, but nothing that they can't repair. And then all the trees that are down in there, our staff is going to go in there as well as we've done with throughout the park is we'll be cleaning that up for them, cutting them up and working with them to get all their stuff removed. And then amongst all this, life doesn't stop. We still have our ARPA projects going on. That's what you see in the lower left. There's a big sewer project going on up at Center Lake. The contractors are working amongst this mess. They're doing the same thing at Game Lodge area, and they have a deadline, and they're just pushing stuff out of their way. We're helping get stuff out of their way so they can continue to work and make their deadlines. The Bluebell Complex was another area that was probably hit very hard. The campground we had are similar stuff we've been talking about, with the exception of our evening program amphitheater is basically flat on the ground underneath several trees. So that was the catastrophe there. And then, as you can see with the Bluebell Lodge, several cabins there. I think Bluebell, we had a couple cabins there with trees actually on top of the cabin that had to be removed. And then some of the fence in front of the lodge, and that was taking a beating. The lower left, or lower right, excuse me, of that root ball next to that cabin, how that didn't land on a cabin is beyond any of us. But that root ball is probably as tall as I am. And the interesting thing with these root balls is as you start cutting on that tree, that root ball will then pop that back up. So the guys have to be careful when they're cutting, because at what point is that thing going to slingshot back up on them? So it's just some interesting aspects there. What do you do with the root balls at the end of the day? That's something we're still going to have to determine. What do we do with these? How do we handle them? Some will lay back, some lay partially back, and then you still have a big, lack of a better word, crater behind them that's going to need to be filled back in. So
that root ball that you see there, that's one of the CCC cabins that was, you know, one of the older buildings in the park. And while the building itself didn't get damaged, all the stonework and the mortar work as you lead into the cabin, I mean, that all pulled up. It's all, again, the structure itself is fine, but it's those things that are going to be really hard to replace and get back to what it was originally.
And then an issue we had at Stockade Lake in our south campground there, we had a tree come down on a camper cabin. The intent right now, staff are still assessing this, but it sounds like more likely we will salvage what we can out of this cabin and rebuild it as a staff project. The fear is that it hit the back electrical lines. I think the next picture shows that even too. It hit the back electrical lines, and they're anticipating that the electrical lines running through the walls have all been pulled on. So you'd have to expose everything. Well, currently, when the tree came down, it knocked the tongue and groove down onto the floor. So to access the cabin, they have to climb through a window because they can't open the door yet. So it's a low priority with everything else we have going on right now. We're going to know that we got to fix this at some point and do it. But for right now, it is what it is. I mean, they got the tree off of it, of course, and just kind of moving on and just trying to clean stuff up. So, and then the Sylvan Lake day use area, we lost a roof to a well house up there. A couple of the rafters were broken as of yesterday. The guys had that repaired and back up and going. And then the day use comfort station took some punctures to the roof, as well as some of the different cabins and the auditorium up there took a beating as well. So that center picture is our well house. The other cabin there, I believe that was the senator's cabin up there. And then the lower right is actually trail 4. That's what we're experiencing on our hiking trails. So we have a trail called Sunday Gulch below the dam. One of the wildlife guys for us went with his GPS and went and walked that. It's a 3-mile trail. And probably 2 miles of it, he came up with over 80 points on his GPS where there's anything from one to multiple trees that are all hung up, hanging. And in this location, there's no way to get equipment in there other than chainsaws. There's nowhere to go with the brush. So we will basically literally be cutting a path through there. Anything overhanging, we will try and take down. It will get stacked on the sides. And that's what it's going to be for now. And I mean, so I was helping the guys yesterday behind the dam, and all of our platforms and railings that you guys would have seen yesterday and probably all are intact. No trees landed. Right after that, a bomb went off. I think I was there for a couple hours. We made it 20 feet eight guys working, four saws going, and four of us hauling brush, trying to find places to stack brush and logs. And that's just how slow a process it's been. The campgrounds are going a little bit better because we can get mechanized equipment in there. The trail systems, we can't. So that's going to be something ongoing that we're going to continually be working on. So other areas impacted the Bison Center. Those are the flagpoles. One's on the ground, one's leaning. Interior roads, we have the same issues there where the roads are all open right now, but we still have a lot of cleanup to do. Volunteer Village is the bottom left picture there where we house a lot of our seasonal work campers and volunteers. I think out of all the trees that were there, there's maybe two left standing. And that's where we had a lot of pedestal damage. We did have one of the hydrants get smashed. So when light that morning, when we started getting around, we had a geyser going off there. So we had to get water shut off to that. And then another big issue for us, I talked about the trails, but also our fire road access that we have to basically, where we have two tracks that will need to be cleaned while in fire is helping us in that operation as well right now. So, and the storm wasn't just Custer State Park. It was the Mickelson Trail as well as the snowmobile trails up there. So the 350 miles of trails have been already cleared. The groomer operators went out and got that all cleaned out. Right now, the COs are still helping us monitoring for the illegal OHV use because they're closed to OHVs right now, but with no snow, there's no snowmobiling going on. And then as the wind blows, we're experiencing the same thing up there. We're still having additional trees falling down. And then the Mickelson Trail, we have crews out there too. We have two three-person crews that are working from north to south and south to north. The biggest area for them that's going to be the worst is between Custer and Mystic is what they've been experiencing so far. So they're down to Mystic working south, and they're at Custer and they're working north. And there's been several bridges that were no structural damage that we can tell right now, but railings that needed to be repaired that they have repaired back up. It is accessible if you're walking through it, but they still have a lot of cleanup and fence repair that will probably take them into this spring, early summer on that. So, and then the biggest thing we did was this week, Monday, we brought in probably at least 65 staff. I think there was even more than that that came in, probably closer to 80 from all across the department. We did a call for help and got great response. Our local DOT staff has been helping us out. We've had a Department of Corrections inmate crew out there helping us out. Wildland Fire has been out there working. So we did a big concerted effort this week, made some good progress, but a call for help went out again yesterday. Because we're not done. We're not even close to being done. We're hoping that we can keep crews coming in through January. It'll probably go on longer than that, but we also understand that everybody has their own stuff to do over the course of the winter. So we're grateful for all the help from the different parks, from the wildlife guys all coming out and helping us get through this mess. So, and then tomorrow we've been working with our resource staff, has been working with resource conservation forestry staff, the state forester's office, to develop a plan to what can we do for salvage logging? What do we do with all the down timber? So they're having what they call a pre-bid meeting tomorrow. We did this for the Legion Lake Fire, where we put notice out to all the loggers, anybody that has any desire to come out and take a look at this. So we're hoping to attract some different loggers and different companies that, you know, anywhere from commercial firewood producers to Baker Timber, Nyman Timber, to come out and see what they would be interested in, if it's a large enough scale for them to come out. Because undue to the Legion Lake Fire, this is still all green timber. So there's still, you know, a value in that wood to them to come out and do it. We're not looking to have some great big revenue stream here, but our desire is just to get it off the landscape for any future fire prevention and overloading of fuels on the ground. So, and then lastly, I guess a couple of things is our goal is to try and have everything ready to go by mid-April when we open up typically for the season, when the resorts open up, campgrounds start opening up. Game Lodge Campground is open now. That's all cleaned up. So that's a big goal. We have been receiving calls from the public wondering about how can we help. Our goal is to have a community work day coming up, but right now we still don't feel it's safe to have people out there trying to help us cut. There's too many moving parts. There's going to be a lot of work that we can ask for volunteers to do coming up in the future. There's that fine detail of raking and cleaning up a lot of that smaller debris. That's going to be more hand tools and not mechanized, working around mechanized equipment. So we're not trying to push anybody off from trying to help us, but we're going to put that organized effort together here within a month or so and see what we can do. So, and then yesterday, all the staff got treated to Subway sandwiches due to an anonymous donation. Somebody basically worked with Subway, and I think the staff handed out over 90 sandwiches yesterday to all the staff that were in the park working. So very much appreciate to where if they're listening today, don't know who that was, but thank you so much. It was very much appreciated by the staff. It was a nice treat and it didn't go unnoticed. So with that, we would stand by for any questions.
Very good. Thank you for that update. Any questions from the commission? I do have a couple for, probably I'll start with you, Matt. So you talked about some areas are opened up and some of the public can get in and do their thing. In reference to the trees that are still standing, but they look as if they might have fractures in them and they could be dangerous, are those areas still blockaded off so the public can't access those areas?
The ones that we have experienced are in campgrounds, and those campgrounds are currently closed off. So, yes, the ones that we're unsure of is like out in the natural areas along trails where we've just been asking people to remain vigilant, be safe, but we know we're not going to keep people from recreating. They're still coming. And so we've just been asking people to be safe and be cognizant of what's overhead of you, you know, and yes, and we're going to deal with it as quickly as we can and make it safe for everybody again.
And then in terms of insurance, is insurance going to cover any of this or a portion of this?
We had our claims associates come out, our state risk management individual, and quite honestly, out of all the damage to the buildings and that, there's only about four of them that were actually under our insurance policy. So at the end of the day, we have a $100,000 deductible. We're not sure with those four buildings if we would even hit our deductible. So the Office of Emergency Management has started the process for a disaster declaration. So the next steps, we'll see if FEMA improves that or covers that and approves of it. If they do, then some of our cost and expenses and that could be covered through FEMA, but that's a long drawn out process. We're starting to document all that work now, should that come about. And that would be basically our biggest saving grace. But from an insurance standpoint right now, I'm not very optimistic that we're going to see any money from that aspect of it. So.
Okay. Yeah. And then Josh, from the resort's perspective, are we seeing an economic impact, users not being able or guests not being able to stay in one of the resorts they wanted to, or?
Not at the moment. We did have some displacement during the initial windstorm, primarily due to power. We did have some people that were staying at the reunion cabin. Christmas and the week leading up to it, that's always kind of a big time for us, especially for the cabins Creekside. And we did have to, you know, ask them to come back here in a week or so, or when we knew power was going to get restored. So we just didn't really have any answers. And obviously you talked to Black Hills Energy. They couldn't commit at the time on when power was going to be turned on. So we were able to get some of the people back. They changed their vacation time a little bit to what they could. So we were able to get people back in the reunion cabin, the Tatanka cabin, and a few rooms at Creekside. We do have a group coming in today that's staying at Creekside. Obviously, it's a little bit still of a mess, but, you know, we're providing all the amenities that we normally would in the winter months. So there was a very minimal impact, but some.
Yeah, very good. Okay. Any additional questions from the commission? Commissioner White?
Thank you, Madam Chair. At the bottom, you have an R&M number there. Is that something that you would be looking at? Address the cost?
Are you referring to the 2020? Yeah, there will be some R&M dollars that are spent to cover the expenses, the repairs of the cabins.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And to jump ahead, if I may, Madam Chair, You start looking at the 2026 R&M. Most of those projects are already in place or underway.
Right.
So we're going to basically, through a joint effort, do an authorization to the resort company to overspend their R&M for 2026 to cover some of these repairs to the cabins that need to be done. And then when that's all done, we will basically look to our bond redemption fund that has money to reimburse the resort company for those expenses. It's just a more efficient way to allow Josh to overspend his R&M funds right now rather than have to go through the state process of everything. I mean, we'll have quality contractors and you still have a hand in that and deciding that work and everything else the state does, but it's just more efficient to just run it through that R&M process and then reimburse them at the end of the day. So, I mean, you will see that coming up when we talk about R&M, but yeah, I understand.
Excellent. Thank you.
Obviously, our commitment is to get these buildings back in shape as soon as possible. So,
any other questions? Secretary Rowland.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Not really a question, but more of a comment. You know, through the years, we've dealt with blizzards and floods and wildfires and tornadoes and a lot of devastating weather events, and this is one of those now that is going to be added to the list. Obviously, it's going to be very impactful for not just the short term, but even the long term. But throughout all those major, I'd call them disasters, we've always seen this team rise to the occasion and get the work done and do a good job of recovery. And Team GF&P is known for that. And I'm glad to hear all of the efforts that are going on, along with CSB, Ramcota Regency, and that whole crew as well. I'm confident we'll get through this, but Matt, keep the team going. Inspire the team, lead the team, help them understand there is light at the end of this tunnel. And it does. It is like a war zone out there when you see all those pictures, all those trees laying down. But yeah, it's an amazing thing what we can do as a team, and I expect we'll continue doing those things. We'll continue sending the resources we have across the state. The Wildlife Division, the Parks Division, DOT has been helpful, Wildland Fire, DOC. We're going to continue sending those resources your direction as long as you need them. Let's get this done. Let's work together to get this done, and we're here for you. So thanks for coming in and explaining the damage. It's significant, very significant. Thank you.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Secretary. And with that, let's just move right into number 12.